Copfield's place was one of the bleak ones. Looking across the sparse pastures to the bald heights with their spreading smudges of heather, it was easy to see why the farmer had chosen a breed hardier than the local shorthorns. But this morning the grim outlines were softened by the sunshine, and there was a desert peace in the endless greens and browns. Frank and George were not as I expected. The durable men who helped me in my daily jobs tended to be dark and lean with stringy muscles, but the Copfields were golden-haired and smooth-skinned. They were good-looking young men about my own age, and their massive necks and wide spread of shoulder made their heads look small. Neither of them was tall, but they looked formidable with their shirt sleeves rolled high to reveal wrestlers' arms and their thick legs encased in cloth gaiters. Both wore clogs. The cattle had been herded into the buildings, and they just about filled all the available accommodation. They were about 25 in a long passage down the side of the fold yard. I could see the ragged line of heads above the rails, the steam rising from their bodies. 20 more occupied an old stable, and 2 lots of 20 milled about in large loose boxes. I looked at the black, untamed animals, and they looked back at me, their reddish eyes glinting through the rough fringe of hair which fell over their faces. They kept up a menacing, bad-tempered swishing with their tails. It wasn't going to be easy to get an intradermal injection into every one of them. I turned to Frank. "Can you catch these beggars?" I asked.
"We'll have a bloody good try,"
he replied calmly, throwing a halter over his shoulder. He and his brother lit cigarettes before climbing into the passage where the biggest beasts were packed. I followed them and soon found that the tales I'd heard about the Galloways had not been exaggerated. If I approached them from the front, they came at me with their great hairy heads, and if I went behind them, they kicked me as a matter of course. But the brothers amazed me. One of them would drop a halter on a beast, get his fingers into its nose, and then be carried away as the animal took off like a rocket. They were thrown about like dolls, but they never let go. Their fair heads bobbed about incongruously among the black backs, and the thing that fascinated me was that through all the contortions the cigarettes dangled undisturbed. The heat increased until it was like an oven in the buildings, and the animals, their bowels highly fluid with their grass diet, ejected greenish-brown muck like non-stop geezers. The affair was conducted in the spirit of a game, with encouragement shouted to the man in action.
"Thou art him, Frank! Sniggle him, George!"
In moments of stress, the brothers cursed softly and without heat.
"Get off my bloody foot, thou old bitch!"
They both stopped work and laughed with sincere appreciation when a cow slashed me across the face with her sodden tail. And another little turn, which was well received, was when I was filling my syringe with both arms raised, and a bullock, backing in alarm from the halter, crashed its craggy behind into my midriff. The wind shot out of me in a sharp hiccup. Then the animal decided to turn round in the narrow passage, squashing me like a fly against the railings. I was pop-eyed as it scrambled round. I wondered whether the creaking was coming from my ribs or the wood behind me. We finished up with the smallest calves, and they were just about the most difficult to handle. The shaggy little creatures kicked, bucked, sprang into the air, ran through our legs, and even hurtled straight up the walls. Often the brothers had to throw themselves on top of them and bear them to the ground before I could inject them. And when the calves felt the needle, they stuck out their tongues and bawled deafeningly. Outside, the anxious mothers bellowed back in chorus. It was midday when I reeled out of the buildings. I seemed to have been a month in there, in the suffocating heat, the continuous din, the fusillade of muck. Frank and George produced a bucket of water and a scrubbing brush and gave me a rough clean-up before I left. A mile from the farm, I drove off the unfenced road, got out of the car, and dropped down on the cool fellside. Throwing wide my arms, I wriggled my shoulders and my sweat-soaked shirt into the tough grass and let the sweet breeze play over me. With the sun on my face, I looked through half-closed eyes at the hazy blue sky. My ribs ached, and I could feel the bruises of a dozen kicks on my legs. I knew I didn't smell so good either. I closed my eyes and grinned at the ridiculous thought that I had been conducting a diagnostic investigation for tuberculosis back there. A strange way to carry out a scientific procedure. A strange way, in fact, to earn a living. But then I might have been in an office with the windows tight shut against the petrol fumes and the traffic noise, the desk light shining on the columns of figures, my bowler hat hanging on the wall. Lazily, I opened my eyes again. and watched the cloud shadow riding over the face of the green hill across the valley. No, no. I wasn't complaining.